Yes, indeed. It is Monday, November 10th, I want to say. Is that accurate, anybody? 11th? All right, well, bet. Yeah, okay, cool. 11-11, everybody. 5:30 p.m., most importantly, talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Coming up next, before we get into the show, as always, we want to thank some of the people who make it possible around here. Talking about practice is made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street. Their telephone number is 345-5011. Once again, 345-5011 for Mountain Sports. Thank you to Mountain Sports. But most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for rocking with us here on FM 90.1 KZFR at Chico. Talking about practice starts right now.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice, Chico's number one sports talk radio show. I'm your host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, my man, Derek Izumaki.
What's good, party people?
We also have DJ J Pounds, a.k.a. Jordan Booth, in the building.
Bang, bang, bang.
Sonny Slim, a.k.a. John Lucan.
How am I supposed to top that?
And, of course,
Lame.
Our producer extraordinaire, Bradley Feingold, a.k.a. Statman Brad.
Yeah!
All right. Well, let's get it. We have a lot of things to tackle today. No pun intended. But we'll start with football. We'll get into the NFL, and most of you are probably tuning in to Monday Night Football as that game is just kicking off with the Niners facing the Seahawks at home. Should be a good one. We'll keep you up to date on that. But I did want to start with college football because this week was a big weekend in college football. The game of the year so far, at least as far as anticipation and hype, LSU goes into Tuscaloosa to play Alabama and ends up getting the dub.
I knew it.
You knew it, huh? Let's start there.
I mean, if you would have taken what I said, plus 6.5, covered. One out, right? Just saying.
I mean, I know you didn't expect a 40-point shootout, though.
I honestly didn't, but you saw it in the beginning of that game on that first drive. You looked like Bama was, even though Tua's, you know, known to have that surgery and be injured, they drove down on that first drive like they always do, get into the red zone. Looks like they're about to score, and then Tua has that random mishap fumble as he's carrying the ball.
That was crazy.
And right there, you just kind of felt the energy shift, even though that's not really technically a monumental play because it's in the first quarter, but you can just feel Alabama not having that swagger, that confidence that they usually go into games with.
That's interesting. My biggest takeaway from the game is why the hell was Tua out there? He looked injured. He's limping around most of the game.
He just had surgery 20 days ago.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, then why is he out there?
He's a college kid who stands to lose
everything.
Tens of millions of dollars if he re-aggravates that, what was it, a high ankle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
For what, though? For what?
Obviously,
to play
can't.
It's such a ridiculous situation we
Agreed.
Put these kids in right now.
It's so dumb.
Hey, the saving morale, the saving ego, you know what I mean? He was like, I'm going to play for my coach.
It's a regular season game, and you're putting this kid's future on the line. Sure, if he's cleared by the doctors, I understand.
I mean, let's not. This isn't like regular season game like the NFL.
Understood.
This has every playoff implication possible.
But Bama's still in the top four.
That's not, I mean, why is it, again, for that kid, man, I don't see why you're worth it, risking it out there for it. It's not worth it to me.
No, agreed.
I mean, a quick question, side note. Why the hell does he have TU dot Tagovailoa on his thing? Why is there a T?
Because his brother.
Because his little brother plays on the team.
Yeah. Well, then have the A in there. Just throw in the A. Why do you have TU dot? Like, have TUA. Just have his whole name on there if you're going to do it, okay? I'm just let me say it. It just sounds.
I'm pretty sure his little brother has TA dot, and then he has TU dot.
Just saying. Just put this Tua. But it's like there's an A in there. Just sorry. Dumb.
Apparently that grinds your gears, you'd say?
Yeah. What, the Pacific Islander culture?
No, just the way they put their names on their jersey at Alabama.
Nice, John.
I think it's the fact that it's this whole name omitting one letter. That's what it is for you right there.
Yeah. T-U dot. There's an A at the end.
It's this whole name omitting one letter. Yes. I can feel that.
That'd be like if they had Derry on the back of your jersey. Derry Isumaki.
D-E-R-E dot. It stands for Derry, but you don't need it for the K. No.
Good times.
Great game, though.
Good game,
Ellis. Joe Burrow, Heisman? I mean, do we...
If Chase Young comes back, Chase Young's the Heisman.
That dude is so vain. Joe Burrow. Did you see how many times he was running his hands across his hair? He had his helmet off, hand going across his hair. It's like, he's on camera, hand going across. They're carrying him off the field, nice and hair. His hands going across his hair. He's going to lose it pretty soon. I'm just saying, man. Keep doing that, man. You're vain.
I mean, it's a big win for him. Definitely in consideration for it. I don't know if... This will give him that, though. He has to win the SEC championship.
Really?
I think it's definitely he has to win the SEC championship.
Because he's got a lot of help around him. Those wide receivers that he's got Randy Moss Jr. Well, not, it's Randy Moss' son. What's his name?
It's like, his name starts with an L.
Yeah. Whatever.
That's all I know.
Little Moss.
Little Moss.
And guy's got remnants of his dad in him with that toe tap.
But at the end of the game,
he's got a lot of
help. Game, it was Joe Burrow that won him that game. That last drive when they were up five.
Oh, because he scrambled for 10 yards?
For almost 30 yards.
Okay, so Edwards-Helaire had a great game as well, the running back for LSU.
Oh, yes. Five, six, Mighty Mouse is what they call him.
Yeah, he hooped.
Thaddeus Moss, by the way, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great name.
Thaddeus is a fire name.
Yeah, he's living up to that name.
The Moss name or the Thaddeus name?
No, Thaddeus. Yeah.
Who's your top three Thaddeuses of all time?
Well, there's not that many of them.
Shout out Thaddeus Jenks.
The only one I can think of right now is Thaddeus Young that used to play for the Detroit Pistons. Now I think he's...
Shout out Thaddeus Young.
Yeah.
Still in the league.
Guy could yam it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I had a weird dream that Thaddeus Young adopted me at one point in time. I don't know where this came from in my life whatsoever. I just remember having a very vivid dream that Thaddeus Young adopted me.
How old were you when you had this dream?
That's probably around like six. I don't know, 21. I was up here in Chico State when it happened. So yeah.
What an odd dream.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it either. I didn't talk to somebody about this. I feel
how very very odd. Let's just jump into the futures, unless you guys have anything else on college football you're dying to talk about. No?
Michigan didn't lose this week. Great. It was great. Great week for us.
You guys killed it. Yeah. Well, Big Blue.
On a bye?
Didn't lose?
Okay.
I mean.
That's all it counts, man.
A non-loss is a non-loss, no matter how you slice it, right?
That's true.
All right.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man? You know my name, now give me my money.
Get away from me, dude. Yes, that's right. Luke into the futures. Boy, staying hot. Except for Arizona State. Thanks, Arizona State. Appreciate you. Would have been undefeated this week. Went at a cool 5-1, boys. Cool 5-1. Just saying. You guys aren't into betting, but if you would just get on my my horse, we're 57-18 this year, boys.
Man.
It's a good number.
Stay hot, son.
Man, I don't even know how I'm doing it. Wish I could do that the rest of my life. Spreads pick for the weeks. We got three. Excuse me. We have four. We have TCU at Texas Tech. Texas Tech's star quarterback somehow just redshirted in week 10 is going to be eligible to not have this year count, so he will start again as a sophomore. But with that being said, Texas Tech is without a quarterback. So we're going TCU plus three. We have Alabama.
Makes sense. TCU beat Texas this year.
Yeah.
What a disgrace.
Alabama at Mississippi State. Alabama coming off that tough loss. They got to prove something. Tua might not start. But I think they're still going to prove it. The defense is going to show up. We have a minus 21. Ohio State at Rutgers.
Woo-woo!
Ohio State. We were joking about the spread being 43 last week. They won by 60. I'm just saying. This team is good. Top to bottom.
They haven't played anyone.
Ohio State at Rutgers, which, again, Rutgers is probably one of the one of the worst programs in the country right now. And they're at minus 49.
That's it.
Wow. We're taking the spread, boys. Spread minus 49. And then Minnesota. You guys, Minnesota coming off a huge win.
The Golden Gophers.
At Penn State. Fleck, that head coach, is probably going to be one of the next NFL coaches. Fleck, remember that?
PJ Fleck,
remember that? Minnesota at Iowa, super tough place to play. Iowa is favored, minus three. We're going to take Minnesota. We're going to ride this horse. Minnesota, plus three.
Different Minnesota in the playoff at the end of it, too.
Right.
They jumped six spots last week.
They went from 17 to 7.
Yep, that's 10 spots.
That's 10 spots.
Whoa. My numbers are different, but all right. I got them ranked 7th on the coaches poll. Are you going to coaches poll?
We're AP.
AP.
AP, dog. We're already in the
football playoffs. But getting
that
into the
Tuesday, Brad.
Getting into the bias picks, what everyone's really wanting to hear. Jarreau coming on another tough loss.
Okay, dude, we have to start there, huh?
Yeah, right, man, you've been losing a lot, and you are in sole last place at 3-6-1.
Sheesh.
Yeah, Texas took the spread.
I've taken three L's in a row.
Yeah.
I think you've
taken four, but it's fine. Texas at Iowa State. Iowa is the favorite here, minus 7. So Texas plus 8, over under 66.5.
Let's just take Iowa. I'm just going to start fading everything.
Minus 7. Okay, he's into Derek mode.
Fading everything.
All right.
He moves his body like a cyclone.
Derek.
What?
Nice. The Iowa State Cyclones.
Like
that's
it.
Their
like
mascot.
Baby Bash.
I was thinking about the artist. That song gets me going.
Baby Bash. What a shout out.
If you can't dance when T-Pain comes on, then you got some problems.
So yeah, Derek took Wyoming this week because Michigan was on a bye.
They covered that spread
against Boise State.
They covered that spread. They should have won. They went for two. They went for the win.
Didn't matter, though, because it was plus 12.5. Okay, so you were gravy either way.
I mean, I'd like to see the Cowboys win. It's my team.
Go Cowboys.
Go Cowboys. So that brings it, Derek, to 4-5. Michigan coming back off a bye. Michigan State at Michigan. Michigan is favored 13.5, over under 44.5.
How much are they favored?
13.5.
13.5, Michigan.
At the big house.
I don't want to start betting on them right now.
What do you mean? You're not
like
back on the wagon?
I feel like they're going to lose. The moment I jump on, they're gonna show their true colors.
Blue and yellow.
Yellow. Just yellow.
Yellow bellies.
So what do you
got? All right, I'm going to take Michigan to cover the spread.
After all that.
Yeah.
All right. Jordan took Ohio State over-under. Ohio State hit the over by themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was nice. This week they have Ohio State at Rutgers.
They haven't played anyone.
Minus 49, over under 60.5.
Oh, I'm taking the over.
All day, dude. Yeah. That's the easiest over of all time.
Yeah. So what did they score against?
76.
And they let him score a couple, too. They let him score like 20 points or so.
Yeah. I mean,
beautiful.
Ohio State is lit.
They better put him back in there.
He better come back in.
Oh, come on, Ohio State.
It's ridiculous.
You have some.
It's a plane ticket. Give me a break. Brad, getting back on the winning horse, went against his Duke Blue Devils. Took Notre Dame. Sorry. Jordan's at 6-3 in first place. Tied for first place, though.
Yeah, so I was going to say tied. Come on now.
I got the tiebreaker.
We have Syracuse at Duke. Duke is favored 11 points, minus 11, over under 55.
So Duke's favored minus 11.
Favored, yeah. So minus 11. Favored 11.
I'm going to take Duke. Yeah, I'll take that minus 11.
All right. Myself.
That's shocking.
Took Cal over Washington State. They beat him outright, even though I had plus 8. We're going to roll with Cal. 6.5 at home against USC. Let's go. That is a look into the futures.
Thank you, sir. What's your overall record again? Tell the people one more time.
Hold on. Let me turn back the pages here. 57-18.
That's insane.
57-18.
He moved no pages, just so you guys know. He moved no pages on this end. It's all good.
Before we get into the NFL, and there's a lot of topics to touch on there, I think it's time for some people to die.
Some months out of the year, I'm training my body around a certain time period. Some of us work evenings, and we'd like to see the sun too. I get into that routine, and just when I think I have it, you change on me. Daylight savings time. You're dead to me.
Oh, I missed the cue there.
Yeah, I know.
That's my bad. All right. This one hurts, guys. This one really hurts. Vikings, check. Jets, check. Buccaneers, that's right, check. And even the lowly Dolphins, check. You come back. You replace Two Glove Teddy. Undefeated as a starter. Maybe he had one loss, I don't remember. Doesn't matter. And you do absolutely nothing but cost me a chance at a 16 parlay for $5,000. Drew Brees, you're dead to me. That's it. That's all I got. Anyone else want to go? Or...
It hit our land like an atomic bomb, sweeping the nation with its tasty, ever so filling, just the right amount of spice. A sandwich that could almost rival the top sandwich out there. It was there. You had your chance. And yet constantly, you run out. Once again, I was trying to taste one of those fantastic sandwiches, but got denied. Because y'all didn't have enough. You know how popular it is. And you don't plan for the day. Popeyes. You're dead to me.
Week in and week out, you produce polls ranking the top 25 teams in the nation. Most of the time, we don't disagree, but we don't understand why a team drops 2 spots or they drop 10 spots. There's no rhyme or reason. But when you leave out the reigning national champion out of the playoffs and they haven't lost a game, absolutely despicable. College Football Playoff Committee, you're dead to me.
Thank you, sir. That was solid. We're good?
Yep.
We're good. Everyone's happy.
Off my chest now. That one hurt. I'm not going to lie. That one hurt me a little bit.
It's too dark outside.
It really did.
I'm not exactly happy.
Haters ball.
Oh, man. Hey.
Why you wanna play a hate on me?
I'm telling you, this Atlanta Falcons team is the bane of my existence. They lose when they're supposed to win. They win when they're supposed to lose. And your boy was one cover away from 5K this weekend. This is why I came on these airwaves, these very airwaves, and I have said on many occasions... Listen up, kids. Don't trust the Falcons. I've said it once, I'll say it again. You cannot, under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
As Jerome has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like they have so many issues that Jerome loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't. So you get the point. Don't ever trust the Falcons. And this weekend, they were absolutely supposed to lose. Going into New Orleans, Drew Brees just getting back after a broken thumb. They're absolutely supposed to lose that game. And what'd they do? They messed around and won.
See, that was your problem. You trusted Atlanta to lose. Don't trust them.
You're right.
Boom.
I didn't follow my own advice, and for that, I'm truly sorry. And so are my pockets. Player haters ball, y'all. So football, huh?
NFL.
That Lamar Jackson's pretty good, yeah?
MVP.
You think he's MVP?
Kirk Cousins.
Get out of here with Kirk Cousins. Cousins.
Russell Wilson's
Kirk Cousins
MVP.
Almost missed his gender reveal target. All right.
He hella did. Oh, my God.
He almost does anyway.
How you throw a skipper at a 5-yard pass? He almost threw a skipper.
I'm just saying, they're stupid anyway, so, you know, that's why. He was protesting.
Gender reveal parties, you're saying.
Oh, gender reveal. You don't have a whole party, but you got to make a video. Just tell me, or I'll be surprised when it comes out. Derek, you're no fun.
No, I'm down.
Lamar Jackson, though, is legit. The Ravens are legit. He actually, again, the Ravens have a defense that they can get behind like old times.
Yep.
And Lamar Jackson is...
Well, I think like old times is a bit of an oversell. They had one of the greatest defenses of all time.
Yeah.
On a couple different occasions.
Well, they're a top five defense in the league right now.
Are they?
They are.
Are they?
They are.
You keep throwing these things
out.
They're
on my fantasy squad.
Okay. They're a top five fantasy defense? Or they're a top...
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, wouldn't that translate into a top five defense?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
I mean, no. Turnovers...
I mean, it helps, I'm sure, yeah. But, you know.
The Ravens' defense isn't why everyone's excited about this team. It's Lamar Jackson and that offense, which is rolling right now. Lamar Jackson, through his first 16 starts this season, has more wins than Patrick Mahomes in his first 16. He has more rushing yards than LaDainian Tomlinson did in his first 16 games. Better completion percentage than Drew Brees in his first 16. Better QBR than Tom Brady. And more yards per attempt than Aaron Rodgers. And all the while, people thought he should be a wide receiver coming out of college.
Put him in Cooperstown, baby, right now. Let's do it.
Was it Bill Polian that said it? The former six-time NFL Exec of the Year? I'm pretty sure he was.
Cooperstown. It's Canton.
Canton, yeah. Whatever. Okay. Nah,
Cooperstown, that'd be really impressive.
Put him in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's so nice.
He's so nice. We put him in. He doesn't even
all
play
of
baseball.
Them. You get him all. You get every Hall of Fame. I mean, I like everything we're talking about. Lamar Jackson, obviously, is the truth and everything, and we've had all these comparisons of other quarterbacks that are mobile, having early success. But what are we really willing to say about him? Like, we've said that Patrick Mahomes is hands down the best quarterback in the NFL, when healthy. Mm-hmm. Assuming health. What are we really prepared to say about Lamar? Is Lamar Jackson elite? Is he an elite quarterback?
I think he's right up there with the generation with Patrick Mahomes. I think he's the next generation included with Patrick Mahomes in the sense that we've looked at him coming in, again, as a lot of scouts have, as being a running back or being, you know, a receiver, all this kind of stuff. He's, you know, agile and quick and super athletic. But we've seen over this stretch of games this season that he's not only a runner, but he runs laterally. He keeps his eyes downfield. He manages the game well. Like, he knows certain spots and certain quarters. Like, this guy is an all-around great quarterback.
He's got a funny face.
Yeah, he looks like Frederick Douglass.
Like, he looks
like Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, he looked the first slave that could read. Y'all rude. Lamar, don't listen to them.
I love his hair, though.
He's a legend. Great hair. Lamar's like, a legend.
I think he could be up there in the top three, I mean, in the next generation of quarterbacks, for sure.
I mean, there's
that's
potential.
Not really saying much, though. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky.
I'm saying in the next three, four years.
That's his competition.
I'm not saying the same draft class as him. I mean, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning didn't come in the same draft class. You know, there's year gaps that we have generational quarterbacks that come into a group.
But, I mean you're talking about, like, Baker Mayfield's, the Sam Darnold's, the Josh Allen's. You're talking about that crop of people. Yes, he's a lot better than all those
guys.
But
who's to say the next couple years with Trevor Lawrence coming in from college, with Tua Tagovailoa, all these different guys that are coming in a couple years later that can't be in that generation?
I don't think any of those guys are going to be good. That's just my personal opinion. But I don't know.
A lot of people didn't think Lamar Jackson was going to be good.
I did. I would say from the get-go,
we
did. Saying,
we both said on here.
I mean, it's a proven track record of people who can run and run college-style systems have proven success. Kyler Murray is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. He's having great success with the stigma of being under 5'9 and all the different things that he has against him.
However, it's not sustained success. They don't have a very prolonged. It's a short period of time.
Exactly.
People usually figure them out. Mm-hmm. But right now, let's enjoy this time where we're seeing Lamar Jackson doing crazy spin moves in the secondary.
Oh, okay.
Oh, 100%. How cool is it to see one of the plays they had three Heisman Trophy winners in the back. They had Mark Ingram, Lamar Jackson, and RG3, Robert Griffin III.
I've always wondered, you know, when they're doing that option, who do the yards go to? The person who ends up with the ball at the end? What if Lamar Jackson goes like halfway down the field, then pitches it, and then Robert Griffin scores? Does he get the yards at all? Does Lamar Jackson get any
of those
yards?
That doesn't happen that often.
I think that's a
where
great
somebody
question,
gets a substantial a amount of yards.
Yeah, and
like,
then they pitch it.
And then they pitch it. That usually doesn't happen, but that's a good question.
Brad,
shout out
to
Dean,
right
Dean Blandino. Okay, hit us up.
Dean Blandino,
hit us up. We need to know that.
Yeah.
The Ravens look formidable for sure.
The Niners are playing right now.
They are. They're up 10-0 at home against Seattle. End of the first. I'll take it.
You got to talk out to these Raiders, man. How?
Raiders are sneaking up too as well.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, that whole division, no one would have thought that whole entire AFC West division would be wide open right now.
Yeah, especially with the way
the Broncos
Titans
even have a chance.
Titans beat the Chiefs, man. How? Yeah. And we're talking about Patrick Mahomes being
the Raiders
best
are only a game back of the Chiefs right now. Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, that of their three first round draft picks, I think Josh Jacobs, the running back out of Alabama, was the best pickup that they could have got because it establishes their run game once again.
I think obviously Coach of the Year has got to go to Dolphins head coach, man. He got two wins with that squad. What's his name?
Flores?
Oh, yeah, Brian
Flores.
Yeah, dude. He gets Coach of the Year, man. Two wins with that Dolphins squad? Are you kidding me?
I got to give it to Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has done the most with the less. His team has been completely demolished from what it once was. He's got nobodies out there. And they're in the playoffs at this moment.
Yeah. If the playoffs started today,
the Rams look pretty trashy right now.
Yeah, I mean, the absence of Todd Gurley is big. I mean, when you can fake it to a person and everybody bites on that person and you have people who run 4.3s running uncovered, is pretty easy. So,
a lot easier than the looks he's getting right now with a stacked box, for
100%,
sure. Yeah.
And I've never trusted Goff, so, you know.
Nobody trusts Goff. Everybody just knew Todd Gurley was so good that you had to respect
him. People were getting on Goff's train for a little bit. I was like, whoa, y'all.
Yeah, they
Well, I mean, he
really
got paid $153 million, so.
Yeah, they paid the wrong
Someone
guy.
Got on
they
his
paid
train.
The wrong guy. He is a situational type person.
He played golfful this weekend.
I'm taking it.
Oh, the biggest story of the week, the Cowboys lost. The Cowboys lost, so the Eagles
like
are
I
back
said,
in it.
Kirk Cousins, baby. Kirk Cousins.
Kyle Rudolph was killing them boys.
Did you see that first catch he had?
The snag, the one-hand snag. And then he big boy Jordan Lewis in the back of the end zone.
Yep.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook is the truth, too, man.
Dalvin Cook is a fantasy legend.
Yeah.
Coming out of the backfield, catching passes left and right. Yeah, he's been great. No doubt about it. The playoff picture for the NFC is interesting. Obviously, the Niners looking good so far. 10-0, like we said. Second quarter just starting. So it's the Niners, Green Bay at 8-2, the Saints at 7-2, Dallas at 5-4, Seattle at 7-2, and Minnesota at 7-3. Just on the outside looking in, the Rams at 5-4, Philly at 5-4, Carolina at 5-4. Go over to the AFC. Obviously, New England 8-1, Baltimore 7-2, Houston 6-3, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh rounding out the top six. But you have Oakland, Indy, and Tennessee all sitting right there at 5-4. Tennessee's at 5-5. So, going to be an interesting next 7 weeks we have left of football. It's coming quick, man.
It is actually exciting this year, though.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
Because
the Patriots look vulnerable.
The uncertainty is a lot of fun, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we move on?
Yes.
We good? Everyone's happy? Everyone got that out of their systems? Let's continue to flush the old system of demons from this past weekend with thirsty 30 seconds of fantasy. Man, that's a tongue twister.
No one cares!
Oh my god. So we're killing the game.
game right now, boys.
I'm up 20 right now. I need the dub, Jimmy. Jimmy's on the field right now. I'm up dub.
Who knew? Guy
got a really good dub. It's over. That's all I got going. That's all I got going. I'm playing against you. Kareem on Lambo. I'm good. I'm good. I'm up dub.
First year back. Doing the business.
The 49ers can find a way to lose. I can win fantasy.
It's perfect.
It's so good on that horse. That's perfect. That's perfect. That's perfect.
Cannot wait.
Up.
Oh, man. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are checking out Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. And we are presented by ChicoCallCenter.com since 1999. ChicoCallCenter.com has been assisting businesses and nonprofits with their call center needs, from marketing to fundraising, polling, surveys, customer service, and much, much more. ChicoCallCenter.com can provide vital information about your customers' needs to help plan, focus, and grow your organization. More information or for employment opportunities, visit ChicoCallCenter.com. So thank you to Chico Call Center, but most importantly, thank you, our listeners. We appreciate y'all rocking with us right here on FM 90.1 KZFR. Now it's time for the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That's right, y'all. Time for the news. So always some heartwarming stories out there that make me feel all special inside. There's a great brewery down in Fresno, California called Tactical Ops Brewery. I've never tried their beer, but they've got me on one of their little promotional schemes they're doing on a batch of oatmeal, a Basher oatmeal stout. And a batch of these cans that are being delivered out to their customers are printed the words, "Epstein didn't kill himself."
Wow.
On the bottom of the cans.
Aggressive.
It's quite fantastic. Gotta appreciate the guy's affinity for the finer things in life. That special touch of truth is nice on the bottom of every can. Because we all know Epstein didn't kill himself. Now, this story really hits home for me. As a bartender myself, and amongst many bartenders in this room right now, and amongst many people who participate in bars and help their local bartenders out, we salute you. A bartender in Missouri was faced with quite a dilemma. His customer wanted to not be the type of Dick Cheney customer that doesn't leave a tip, but didn't have the money for a tip. So what does he do? Like any good natural citizen does, leaves him a Powerball ticket. Many of you will most discount that as like, yeah, whatever, I'm not going to get anything out of it. But that Powerball ticket happened to win a little some money. Happened to win $50,000 worth of money.
Oh, what a, wow.
Oh, sick.
I come back.
Yo,
I need that.
Hey, that was 50-50, man. At least something, man. Yeah. If I'm the person that gave away that ticket, I got $50,000. I bet you his chat was probably like $22 or something. That's a lot.
I'd be sick to my stomach.
I mean, if I was that bartender, I got $50,000 from that.
I'm not going back to bartending, I'll tell you that. I'm done.
I'm taking a little break.
I'm a mixologist now.
I'm going on a vacation.
I'm a mixologist now.
I graduated.
Let's see. Let's do this one story right now because this is kind of a little heartwarming, especially with it being Veterans Day right now. I got to find something that actually...
Bring it all together at the end. There you go, Derek. Yeah. There you go, Derek.
It's 75 years ago, on February 26, 1944, the submarine, the USS Greyback, went down. With 80 sailors on board. That ship was lost, amongst 52 other submarines that had been lost during World War II that have not yet been found. However, earlier this year, the USS Greyback was found. It wasn't until that the staff of the Lost 52 Project, which is headed by Yatuka Iwasaki. By Tim Taylor. He's the one who founded the project. He had the help of Yatuka Iwasaki in recovering this vessel off the coast of Okinawa. So it's kind of cool what this project is doing, trying to search for all 52 of those lost submarines that do contain probably the bodies of many of the people who served in those submarines. He did notify the families before he wanted to release the information, but it was found roughly 1,400 feet below the waters, 50 miles south of Okinawa. Huh. It's kind of crazy. I think 52 submarines were out there. I didn't even know we had 52 submarines in the war at that time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, 52 went down and are still lost to this day. Granted, it's kind of hard to recover something in the ocean. That thing is a vast abyss. But we appreciate the work that Tim Taylor, not Tim the Tool Man Taylor, just Tim Taylor, is doing in trying to recover these lost items that deserve to be found, and their families notified as well.
Well, and all veterans out there.
Yeah.
Give a shout out.
We appreciate all the those brave men and women out there who are doing the work that many of us do not want to do.
Yeah. Shout out to my little brother out in Greece serving us.
Thank you, my man.
Yeah.
That's the news.
The news! All right. Thank you, sir. From the news to more news. Or maybe not. Give me a second. To more news.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, it's time for the North State Update. Going to Chico State soccer real quick. The women, unfortunately, did not make playoffs, losing one game to Cal State East Bay 2-3 in overtime and tying Cal State Monterey Bay 1-1. But the men advance, winning 4-0 to Cal State East Bay and beating Monterey Bay 3-0. They will be taking on Cal State San Bernardino at San Bernardino.
The 909, shout out.
November 12th. This Tuesday.
Hey, beat them, Yodis. Beat them down, Yodis.
Wait, what?
You are alumni of Chico State.
I don't care. hometown squad.
Alrighty then. Anyways, it'll be Tuesday at 1 p.m. in San Bernardino. If they win, they'll move on to the semifinals for the CCAA tournament. Now, it is becoming basketball season, and one very special game is happening tomorrow. Chico State is playing Holy Names University. My sister's on Holy Names University, so
ooh,
go Hawks.
Wait, at home?
Go Holy Names. It's at Chico.
Game is at
7 p.m. I'll be there.
I'm painting my body.
What is it, volleyball?
No, it's basketball. Basketball season.
Big buckets.
This is against Chico
State. This is against Chico State. Holy Names. Oh. Chico State.
I'm one of the best hecklers out there.
Hawks. This is tomorrow at 7 p.m. at Acker Gymnasium.
So, I might be available.
Yeah. And if you're not able to make it, you're not in the Chico area, you can listen it on to 93.9 FM.
Don't be shouting out of the radio stations.
Well, if you want to listen to the game, cheer on my sister.
Oh, yeah.
That's more for my sister, not
or
for
Chico State.
My sister that for tomorrow's game. That's it. So... But the men will also be playing Holy Names, but they'll be playing on Saturday. Again, the game will be at Chico, 7 p.m. on Saturday. Now moving on to prep football. Chico beats Foothill for the final game of their season. They'll be heading into the playoffs as the number one seed in Division II. Foothill will be playing Enterprise in the first game. PV and Shasta will get a bye and will be playing each other in the semifinal round November 22nd. PV will be playing at Shasta for that game. Now, there was questions looming over Paradise whether or not they would make it in. They had a 10-0 record, but were sitting in the ninth spot in the CIF rankings due to the lack that they did not have a league that they played in. So they did not get any league points. But as the committee presented on Saturday, they deserve to be in. They're ranked number 4 playing against Live Oak at home. That will most likely be their only home game. So if you want to go see them, that will be the 15th at 7 p.m. at Paradise. They'll be playing Live Oak. If they win, they'll most likely be playing West Valley at West Valley up in Cottonwood. So that's for the Division III football in the North State. And finally, I will try to be giving up some facts or stats. This one is a fun fact. Every division in the MLB has now, in the past 6 years, has won a World Series. Once again, every division in the last 6 years has won a World Series. 2014, the Giants, NL West. 2015, the Central with the Royals. 2016, the Cubs. 2017, the Astros. 18, Red Sox. And now the Nationals, NL East. So, wow.
Nice.
It's the first time it's ever been done.
Nice. The nice stat flex.
And that is my North State update. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. So we have, we'll keep it in the North State. We have a local legend in with us.
I don't know about that.
Our man Phil from Chico. Stand-up comedian, I would say local, but you were doing stand-up in New York for some time.
You can say local. It's fine.
His name is Phil from Chico.
Yeah, so
he's
that
proud
is
proud of where he's from.
Pretty local.
It's not that. It's more like my dad's not proud of me. so I had to figure out a stage name because I couldn't use his last name because he values his friendships and business relationships in the city of Chico, and he doesn't always agree with everything I have to say. So I'm Phil from Chico, and I was in New York, and I moved back to help clean up Paradise.
Nice.
That was a mistake. I haven't done anything since I've been back since getting in trouble. Now I'm on probation, so I'll be here for a while. So you can say local. I'll be here. Yeah, I'll be in Chico for a minute.
Banned off IG.
Yeah, I've been getting in trouble.
Yeah, it happens. You have something going on tonight, don't you?
I do. every Monday, actually, from now on, we will be having a comedy show at the Down Low on Main Street, next to Lost on Main. And I host. I'm usually hosting, so it'll be a good time. If you're listening and you're looking for something to do tonight, please come by. There's cheap drinks. There's really good food. It's going to be a great show. We always have a good time.
Down Low Mac and Cheese.
Yes. Best in town. Bro, best in town.
I'm telling you, their kitchen is ridiculous.
I'll say that for sure.
People don't think about the Down Low as a place that's going to have great food.
And it's great, too, because you walk in and you lose service. So you're connected with the people that you're connected with in that place.
Well, I mean,
you're not on your phone.
It's
not
always a good thing.
I don't lose service. I don't know what carrier you have.
I don't have that Metro plan, bro. You want Metro PCS?
I have Verizon, and it works well.
Yeah, I have Verizon. I'm pretty sure I have 3 bars down there. I'm solid.
I'm AT&T.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's there's a problem. But that's okay. If you have AT&T, you can come to the show, too. That's okay. It's just you can't, live tweet about it or whatever. You have to wait.
No Instagram live.
You have to wait to go back upstairs before you post pictures on your Instagram story. But, it's still a good time.
Yeah.
We always have fun.
That voice you're hearing is Phil from Chico, local stand-up comedian legend.
Right.
Phil, how did you get your start in comedy? I mean, we're friends, so I have some idea, but share, if you could, in a bite size, how this came about for you.
A bite size? Well, I was always interested in it, but it never seemed like something I could ever do, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'd never seen anybody do it in person. I saw Chappelle and stuff on TV as a kid, and I was like, oh, man, that looks kind of fun. But I never saw anybody do that,
Yeah.
I never saw anybody, go to the NFL until Aaron Rodgers. I didn't realize I could do that, too. All I really thought I could do was be on the radio because of my dad, or sell drugs because of everybody else. I think I was 21 or 22, and somebody opened a stand-up comedy club in Chico, and I was walking by one day, and they was an open mic, and I was I always wanted to try it, and I decided to get hammered and try it one day, and it stuck. I've been doing it for 8 years now.
What, drinking or?
No, drinking's 20 years. Stand-up for 8. And, if I could go back in time, I probably would have kept walking. I probably would have been a lot better off as far as, where I am in life. But I'm having fun, and people have fun when they see me do stand-up, and I like making people laugh, so I don't regret it. I just wish I would have done some things differently.
Speaking of making people laugh, who are you most proud of that you made laugh before?
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, okay, you can't really top that.
I made Dave Chappelle laugh in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of a mic dropper.
Yeah, no, that was fun.
After you do that, I don't know
give me this scenario, legit laugh, or was it like past the moment, breaking down for
me? I don't remember the exact joke. I was sitting with my buddy, who's also a comedian. His name's Phil, also.
Shout out Phil from wherever.
Yeah, Phil from North Carolina. Phil Duckett. And Dave Chappelle, and who else? Ashy Larry.
Yes.
Donnell Rawlins.
Rawlins. There was a bunch of people. Dave Chappelle was in town. I think it was during his Radio City Music Hall run. And there's a club in the Village called the Comedy Cellar. It's probably the most famous comedy club anywhere. And they have really good chicken wings. Literally the best chicken wings I've ever had. That's why I was going there. I hadn't got like past there. I didn't work there yet. I was working on it. But I'd go there for the chicken wings. And yeah, Dave Chappelle was in town. And we knew some of the people in his group. And we all kind of became a big group. And I think I was making fun of Phil Duckett. I forgot exactly what I said. I don't even remember the conversation. I was a little drunk, probably a little high. but I just started like clowning him for something. I probably called him bald or something. Anyways, Dave Chappelle laughed. And I was like, oh, I like noticed it. And I was like, I'm going to go home.
There's nothing else. Yeah. That's it
could only go downhill from here.
So you are hosting open mic every Monday at Down Low, correct?
Every Monday at 9 o'clock.
Cheap drinks, good food. Come on by, support our friend here, friend of the show, Phil from Chico. Where can they follow you if they want more information?
Phil from Chico, all one word, Instagram, Snapchat for the younger ladies. Not too young, sorry. Phil from Chico, three words on Facebook. Nick Coletti is going to be here at the El Rey.
Yes, that's right.
When? On the 21st,
I believe. The 21st of November, yeah. Thursday night.
It's not confirmed yet.
It is confirmed. I got the word today, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, I will be opening for Nick Coletti on the 21st at the El Rey Theater. Yeah. So,
you're not confirmed.
No, I just found out. I just found out.
Breaking news.
This I moved some pieces around.
JT does a lot. He does a lot of things for a lot of people. And, He's my I don't know, manager, but
liaison.
Friend. Liaison. Let's just go with friend.
Consigliere.
I'll be that. Oh, you know what we should do again? Those things that Mario really liked.
Yeah.
You remember?
Oh, God. Moving on. Thanks a lot, Phil. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Right, am I not supposed to talk about that? Yeah. I didn't cuss this time, guys.
I'm just really proud of you. I was waiting for you to swear.
Yeah. So.
Knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you for having me, fellas.
Of course, man.
Chico, folks, come to the download tonight and every Monday at 9. And November 21st at the El Rey Theater. Come check me out, opening for Nick Coletti. I will see you guys later. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah.
Always, man. Appreciate you stopping by. We have someone else stopping by the show. She wasn't able to stop by last week because I did a horrible job of hosting and forgot what we were doing. And I'm currently doing that again as I left my computer charger at home. My computer died, so killing it. 2 weeks in a row.
I was wondering why you were packing up so early.
Yeah, because I don't have it. There's no point in having my computer out when there's no power to it.
Trying to beat traffic.
Yeah, trying to beat traffic out of here. You know how it goes.
He's got his backpack all backed up right now. He's good to go.
We're good. Yeah. But we do have Aaron Isumaki, the best Isumaki that comes on to this show. Aaron, how we doing?
Doing good, guys. I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
Here's the thing is, it's a little bit of me tooting my own horn. I'm a great girlfriend, so we're out at the bar watching the San Francisco game because my boyfriend is a Niners fan. So I didn't listen to your show up until now, but I am prepared. I've got some stats. I've got some good stuff, so I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. What's your best stat? Just unload it on us right now.
You know what? I'm going to go... I'm really bummed that you guys didn't have me on last week because San Jose is 7-10 right now. They're barely beating the Los Angeles Kings, who are 5-11.
But we're still beating you, right? We're still beating you.
Last week, I think you guys didn't have me on because the Sharks had a worse record than the Kings. So
that's
it's a
correct.
Fight for the bottom. It's pretty exciting.
You figured out our master plan.
Fight for the bottom.
Yep.
What can I say?
Yep. We actually prefer to have you on when the Kings are doing poorly and the Dodgers are doing poorly. Unfortunately, your Lakers are looking pretty good.
I appreciate that, guys.
All right, I have to ask you this. I know we're going to talk some puck.
Puck, yeah!
There we go. I know we're going to talk some puck, more puck here, but I am going to ask for John. Is Tiger back?
No, thank absolutely you. Not.
Don't be so biased, Aaron.
Listen, I wish I had the statistics with me because I talked about this with Brad, I think when I was on 2 weeks ago when Tiger won the, whatever. Zozo. Listen, his statistics, they're just not up to par. And I, again, if I had them on me, if I was at home, I would be able to tell you, you know what, he's pretty average. You know, he doesn't have the most tournament wins, I don't think. And I think Jack Nicklaus has the most big wins. He's just not that great, guys. Like, you know, let's hang up the towel on that one.
Yeah, he is terrible. Garbage. Washed out.
Mm. I'm not saying washed out, agreed.
He is.
Terrible, I wouldn't say he's terrible. Washed out.
He should be on the senior PGA tour from here on out.
Mm. What?
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
What?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, my. You got...
Mm. I mean, Freddie Couples can every once in a while.
Have a good day, you guys. Have a good day.
He can hang with the big boys, but yeah.
Thank
I'm out.
God.
I'm out and Tiger's back.
Tiger's not
listen,
back.
Listen, he would beat all of you if, you know, you all went to a round of golf in Chico, but that's not saying much.
I disagree.
No offense.
Bidwell's my home course.
Does that give you a six-stroke advantage?
like you got banana peels and shells out there in Mario Kart or what?
It's in my home field. What else you got on some hockey for us?
So I don't know if Derek told you this, but I'm trying to up my game because you guys have been upping your game with the dead to me. So I wanted to do Fight of the Week. I thought that would be a really fun thing to do because everybody knows the best part about hockey is the fight.
Yes.
For facts. 100%. Other sports take note.
So this week's Fight of the Week, I'm giving it to, it was during the Florida Panthers and let's see if I can read my writing. Oh, the New York Rangers. It was between Dominic Toninato.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah. Sounds right.
Sounds Canadian.
Also between Greg McKegg, and I thought Greg McKegg is probably always getting in fights. As it turns out, Greg McKegg, it's only his first fight of the season. Greg McKegg weighing in at 194 pounds, 6 feet, and Dominic Toninato is weighing in at 201 pounds, 602, or 6 feet, 2 inches.
Oh, my God.
Pretty close.
What was the result? Who got him?
McKegg starts it. He throws Aaron Eklund into the wall. And this is what I love about hockey. Guys have each other's backs. Immediately, Dominic of the Florida Panther comes in, starts beating up on McKegg for, you know, throwing his man into the wall. And Dominic throws him to the ground, start beating him up. This week, obviously, the win goes to Dominic Toninato of the Florida Panthers. Greg McKegg, next time.
Oh, we're watching it right here. This is awesome. Okay. This is great. Greg McKegg.
Throws him to the ground, gets on top of him, kind of starts to pummel. The refs come in to break it up a little bit.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay.
Gloves off.
Gloves are off. They are going to the ground.
But isn't that a rule? Once they go to the ground, you got to break it, right?
The refs go on top.
Yeah. All right.
My favorite is when gloves come off. When gloves come off, I'm like, that's it, guys. Time to go.
Is that Greg McKegg that's bleeding?
Ooh.
Greg McKegg's the Ranger.
Another player on the Rangers. He actually got hit with the puck like seconds before the fight broke out.
Oh, jeez. God, yeah. Really? He looks like he's in agony. Hockey
really
players are some
McKegg's thunder.
Tough SOBs, huh?
Yeah. He caught a stray bullet.
Okay, let's see.
Straight.
Oh, my God.
Straight
oh!
bullet. Bullets ain't got no names.
Yeah. And that was Fight of the Week. I like this segment. This is fun.
Fight of the Week.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
I thought, yeah, if you guys wanted to, you could do like any Five for Fighting song if you want to give me an intro, or Collide by Howie Long, or Crash Into Me by the Dave Matthews Band. Just some ideas that I'm throwing out there.
Ooh.
I think Crash Into Me sounds pretty good. I like that one.
Yeah, I like it. I like that too. For all our listeners who are driving and don't have access to watching the game right now, Jadeveon Clowney strip sack, picks up the ball, runs in for a touchdown.
14-7?
No, 10-6.
10-6.
Yeah.
And this is before the PAT or they missed
it? Before the PAT.
Okay.
Yeah, not great. Aaron, you got anything else for us?
That's it. Fight of the Week winner is Dominic
Toninato
of the Florida Panthers.
All right. Aaron, we appreciate it. We will be sure to have you back next week, and we look forward to the Fight of the Week. I'll come up with a fun drop for that.
I appreciate that, guys.
All right, Aaron. Take care.
Talk to you later.
Later. All right. Fight of the Week. New segment.
You got something going
on. New segment alert.
Yeah.
Every week is a new segment.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's, I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, I like it. Let's talk some hoops before we get out of here, shall we? So load management got brought up once again as Kawhi sat out a nationally televised game against the Bucks. Obviously, Milwaukee and the Clippers are only scheduled two games against each other since they're in different conferences. And I just wanted to get your guys' take on this whole load management thing. Do you think this is becoming a real issue that the NBA needs to start penalizing for? Or, I mean, that's before we get to fines or any of that. Do you think the NBA needs to interject here?
I mean, they're going to, because their product is being tarnished in a way that they don't like it. And all they care about is the bottom line. Now, if you were a fan, you want your, as a team, you'd want the best for your people. I want Kawhi to be in the finals for me. I want him to take me through a playoff run where he's going to play far more than 82 games. So I'm saying, if he wants to take a game off. I think fans should be okay with that happening, understanding what's a longer picture. For the casual fans out there who just want to see a good time, it's going to hurt them.
Well, you also have the fans that are coming to these games to see, like, say, Giannis. If Giannis sat out when they're in L.A., L.A. is not going to see Giannis a whole lot. So I'm going there to see Giannis. If he's not there, I just wasted all this money to go see him. Where's my, why would I go if I have a possibility of a star not playing?
Plus, I get from the player's standpoint, like, obviously you want to be healthy coming off an injury, but, you know, it's different when, I mean, Kawhi was on this, I had no problem with Kawhi doing this last year because he was coming off being traded from the Spurs and having that injury and surgery, and they, you know, did load manage for him in Toronto. You know, it's been an entire offseason. He's worked out. He's completely been with his own, you know, his new team. It's like, why? I don't get the whole load management process if you're not genuinely, truly injured.
I love it.
Well, yeah, you're a Clippers fan.
But I love it in general because the fact of he's done it twice. This is the second time that he's noticeably done it. Last year with Toronto Raptors and this year with the Clippers. He's the only person that's been able to do it consistently because his team has been good enough to where if he misses 30 games, they're still going to make the playoffs. They're still going to be in a decent spot. So if you can save Kawhi Leonard with an 82-game season, if you can have him healthy for a 7-game series in the conference finals, the semifinals, the NBA championship, the semifinals, whatever, you have that takes priority over game 56 of the year.
One thing that people forget is how many times that Michael Jordan played all 82 games. And the reason Michael once said that he was playing all 82 or he played as many games as he did is because it may be someone in the crowd's first time and maybe only time to ever get the opportunity to see him. And there was a real responsibility to the fan.
That's an ego-driven statement.
Yeah.
Kawhi obviously doesn't have that.
Nine
out of 13 years, Michael.
Sorry, 59 out of 15 years total.
He played all 82.
He played all 82.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then one of them he played 81. So
I feel like Michael Jordan also never had a major injury. Like Michael Jordan probably never missed more than 15 games in a season, unless he was 40, unless like those seasons with the Wizards.
Okay, so yeah, there's a couple seasons. Once with Washington too.
When he was Michael Jordan also took 2 years off to go play baseball.
Yeah.
Okay, so like, please, you took more than 82 games off. You actually took 164 games off in a 2 year span.
But I think the biggest thing to look at this whole thing is just like other stars couldn't do it. If LeBron missed 30 games for the Lakers might not make the playoffs. If Harden took off 30 games for the Rockets, the Rockets might not make the playoffs.
That's
true. Giannis took off 30 games for the Bucks, they might not make the playoffs.
So you're saying if the Clippers weren't as deep as they are, that he wouldn't be doing this? He wouldn't be doing the load management that he is?
I mean, I don't think.
It's like 10 games into the season. How are you tired?
It's not as big as an option. And it's not about being tired. It's about muscle fatigue. That's what it's about. It's about muscle fatigue. And if the Clippers are an exciting team even without Kawhi Leonard. We've won probably more games without him than we won with him this year just because he's already missed like 3 or 4. So, I mean, we're a good team regardless. I think you would be just as stoked to see the Clippers with or without Kawhi Leonard because we're a good team.
I mean, I do feel bad for the fans because a lot of fans, especially on the road, are going to see the superstar, right? Mm-hmm. You're not you're going to root for your team, but you're also going to that particular game because of a superstar. And coming from a Warriors fan who most of my life, the reason you went to the games was not to watch your own team. I mean, yeah, of course, I'm still cheering all my guys, but I'm waiting for Vince Carter to come to town. I'm waiting for Allen Iverson to come to town, Michael Jordan, that kind of stuff, because I wanted to see the Lakers at the time, you know? I do feel for the fans. I think the easy solution is less games. Let's get this thing down to 70 games. We don't need 82 games to decide the NBA season.